Ron Ives, Kim asked me to speak on the pillars. I had been sending him emails that Marianne very graciously kept putting on the internet from John Paul Jackson, who's been giving an awesome teaching on the pillars, which it's not in the Bible, so I am making the assumption that John Paul has gone into the anointing.
Revelation, yeah.
Receive this, because it's nowhere where you find this. It's interesting that this should take place, because I have been in a time of strengthening my relationship with God and getting to know more of who He really is. So I was blessed by your choices. The music that tied right in. And then as I was confronting the Lord and saying, okay, what do I do with this? He just started to unfold several things, because I have had some very intense training on the tabernacle. So I was understanding quite a bit. In fact, I went on the internet to look for a picture of the tabernacle to kind of give us an idea. Some of the pictures I was a little disappointed in, they're not accurate. Because I was teaching my grandchildren how to build one, I made a great effort to really track it according to the book of Exodus, and some of them were not. But I just got some basic pictures, because we're not really going to study the tabernacle. What the focus of the pillars is God Himself. And that's what the teaching is God Himself, because the tabernacle is an expression of God. So I'll just show you a couple of pictures, and then the handout, I brought notes, because quite frankly, it's a lot to digest. I can't digest it all myself. I'm still digesting. And I felt that if you had something to refer back to, because this will help you grasp more of God Himself in the pillars that He chose for us this year. At any rate, this is kind of an idea of what the layout looked like with the tabernacle surrounded by... When I did the teaching with my grandchildren, God very specifically gave colors to everything. Gold and silver was very prevalent, mostly gold, throughout the whole tabernacle. Very specific about the cloth used, which the curtains that surrounded the tabernacle were linen cloth. They were 7.5 feet tall. The posts, there are 60 posts all around the tabernacle. And they were very specifically had to be a color and of a certain type of wood. Very specific. And of course, the wood was found in that part of the world. But the teaching is on the pillars. We don't find the pillars until we come up. You can see right here in the front entrance to the holy place, there's 5 pillars.
Mm.
Well, we've been directed on 4 pillars, and the 4 pillars are not shown in this picture. And it was strange. I went on several websites that had in-depth teaching on the tabernacle. Not one had a teaching or any explanation of the pillars. Now, that is really strange, because God was so specific about the wood, the overlay of gold, the ones that we're going to look at, which is the 4 golden pillars that's not shown here. It's in front of the holy place. And the capital that's on top.
Yep.
Very specific. Not one of them said a word. Some of the pictures didn't even show a pillar. I had to draw it in, because what I did is I pulled off a, as though you were looking down, picture of the tabernacle, so it gives you an idea of what the Israelites were doing. The holy place, they came in through a gate, and there was only one gate. The gate was in the east, and so when they came into the gate of the east, they were walking west as they went in. But the children of Israel never got further than the outer court. And it was the priests that went in. And there's the laver where the priests washed before they went into the holy place. There's the candlestick. As on one side, the golden candlestick was made of solid gold. The table of showbread was on the other side. And then the altar of incense was before the entrance into the Holy of Holies. So I just marked in five pillars entering the holy place, but four pillars to enter the holy of holies that were solid gold. I just wanted to give you this little idea. So as I explained to you, this is what they were seeing. But it's a picture of what God wants us to see of himself, and actually a picture of the entrance into the heavens. They saw it in the natural. We get to see it in the spirit as we choose to go further on with God. So let me hand you out and I just kind of itemized it instead of writing out all the stuff that I have. It's too much. In order to digest this, it just takes a bit of time because we're trying to grasp, yeah, this two-pages book, grasp God himself. Because that's what he was teaching the Israelites, was himself. And I became keenly aware that I did not know God well enough myself and said, okay, God, that's it. This is where I'm stopping. And so he told me to make 10. We all set? Okay. So I have an extra. If somebody said that was, I was going to make, I said, God, what if somebody wants to take a copy? So there is an extra copy. So just bear with me. The notes that I'm using are strictly the notes from John Paul Jackson. This is nothing that I have received. It's what he has received, except for the very last one, and I'll explain that. It's not from John Paul Jackson. As you follow here, before you get into the Holy of Holies, you're going to encounter two more layers of obstacles. And the first layer that you will confront is these four golden pillars, which we're representing here. And they're just outside the veil. As we know, the veil was rent in two when Jesus went to the Father on the cross. That's the veil. This veil was enormous. It was a huge veil. It took many, many priests to even hang the veil. It was so heavy. It was 5 inches thick and exceedingly heavy. But these four golden pillars stand in front of it. But before you get even to that point, you have to pass through the five pillars that are outside the holy place. And these five pillars are elements of grace. I had not heard this before myself, and I'm really blessed by this man's revelation. So the revelations of what those five pillars stand for are favor, which is God allowing you to do something that you are totally unqualified to do. The second is patience, which is God giving you time to mature. Steadfast love, which is God giving his Son for the forgiveness of your sins. Purpose, which is God giving a good plan for your life in spite of your failure. And anointing or influence, which is God allowing us to touch and change others as he flows through us. That's not our focus tonight. You do have to walk through those in the tabernacle to get to the place of the four golden pillars. So in order, again, in your life, as you walk towards where God would be calling you to, if you choose to go that way, heading towards the Holy of Holies, these are areas that you and your heart would need to digest of God, who he is, and why those pillars are there. So that as you pass through the holy place and you get to the golden pillars, you're now standing before these pillars, and they represent four attributes of deity. The first one is omniscience, all-knowing, omnipotence, all-power, omnipresence, always present, immutability or unchanging in any way. Go back to some of my notes here. I just wrote down what I felt was enough for you to be able to get an idea of what is being represented right here with us. You will need to understand these pillars, what they represent and what they mean to your destiny, as this is what will greatly aid you in your decision to go into the Holy of Holies, where you will soon enter a much more formidable dark night of the spirit. In the outer court that I just showed you a picture of, which I believe all of us here have already walked through, in the outer court you traverse through the dark night of the wilderness where God dealt with sin. In your journey, as you go through the five pillars into the holy place, it's the dark night of the soul, and God deals with your ambition and your self-sufficiency in that place. So as you go through that and come up to the four golden pillars, it's the dark night of the spirit, and God will deal with your confidence that you can actually do what he has called you to do. At this point, I found this absolutely fascinating that John Paul took note of this, and I'd never thought of it when I was building the tabernacle. The tabernacle is built in the desert, and it's on dirt. There was no floor in the tabernacle at all. It was a tent, so to speak, as in the picture that I showed you. There was four layers of covering over all of these holy place and holy holies, and each one of those four layers had a meaning, but that's not what we're doing tonight. But he made it a point to say, take note that you're standing in the dirt of the earth. If you were one to literally go in a tabernacle, you would be standing on dirt.
Right.
So every step to the tabernacle has been with your feet standing on the dirt of the earth. And no matter how holy is your moment with God, you're still standing on dirt. And he stressed, and I felt this important enough to put here, that this is important for you to grasp, because it's right here where you're standing that heaven and earth intersect within you. Each one of you, heaven and earth is intersecting. As your feet are on the earth, heaven is in within you. You're meeting, you're intersecting, joining. And that is just so amazing to my heart. And then as you journey deeper through the sanctuary, and he also called it the mountain of the Lord, you're being prepared for a deeper mystery. And it will take the leaving of the rule of your soul to do it. And as you all know,
that's really hard. You're messing with yourself, and I don't like to let go.
I've been doing quite a bit of that this week, and I told the Lord that. This is really hard. But at any rate, that is what is required. If, as you choose to go further. The tabernacle is more about God revealing himself to us. It's not about following any set rules.
Amen.
It's a revelation of God, the whole tabernacle. He was revealing who he is to the Israelites and to us. And it's interesting to note that the tabernacle had three parts. Outer place, holy place, and holy holy. And God is three in one. And we talked a lot about three this week. Mm-hmm. And the tabernacle is also three in one. So when we see the tabernacle, we see the manifestation of the reflection of heaven on earth. Okay, let's go into more of an understanding here of the awesome pillars that we have here. there are four things that John Paul designated that he felt needed to complement pillars. God alone is eternal and uncreated. He stressed in his notes that it was critical to our understanding of the pillars that we grasped this full meaning of this. That he alone is eternal and uncreated. And eternal means he always existed. He exists. He always exists. And I had never thought of this, but he said, we are not eternal, but we receive everlasting life, which means you will exist forever from the point forward when you receive God. Yep. But he alone is the one that is eternal, and he alone is uncreated, God himself. And as I was going through this, it's like, my God, help me to wrap my mind around this, because this is just so far outside of the confines of my mind to grasp. And to me, I can't get it without the Holy Spirit doing this for me. Totally uncreated. If there was anything that created God, obviously God would not be God. And that God exists outside of everything, including time. That is quite the statement. God exists outside of everything. Everything we see and everything we can't see in our awesome universe, God exists outside of that, including time. I don't know about you, but I haven't quite got this brain wrapped around that yet.
He invented time. He created it.
He did. For his own purposes for us. What he is outside of it.
He can create it. He can stop it. He can create it later. He can stop it.
Yeah.
He can push it forward.
Take you back.
Oh, yeah.
So if all that exists, and exists in God, and nothing is outside of him, then all time exists within him too.
Yep.
Because time is something he created. It's a created substance. And God is uncreated. So if all exists within him, then he exists outside of creation and inside. Then he exists outside of creation and inside of creation at the same time.
That's cool.
That is. That is so amazing. There is no place that he is not present. Thus, he can be outside of you and inside of you at the same time. Simultaneously. He can also increase the measure of his presence with you, but you will have to ask him to do that, as he will not violate your will. Another choice. In this teaching that I don't know, does anybody want any, I don't know, there's no question, I can't answer any question on that, because that's all I know. Does anybody have anything to add, to any part of that so far? Something that God has shown you at all? Okay. If you do, please interject.
I'd like to just kind of give you that sense of his creating us in Christ, which we discussed a few weeks ago. And when we were put together in our mother's womb was not our beginning.
Right.
And that's mind-boggling.
You know what? Nobody showed me that I wasn't just created when the world was created. I was created before then.
That's right.
And my mind is going, whoo, that is really stretching.
Well, St. Paul says, I was born out of time. In other words, he was released into the earth out of the normal sink for that generation. And he had abilities that others didn't have. Okay? And we talked about the gift of wisdom that's in your spirit man. And when you come into this realm, you already have these attributes built into you. They're already prepared. Now, they'll mature, they'll grow. But the bottom line is, it's inside of you, and it's in seed form. And as the water comes and the sun comes, and I'm not talking about the S-U-N, I'm talking about the sun, the S-O-N. And when he comes in, we begin to mature at a different level. So, if you take that part of who you are, and then you add, I'm now in the anointing, I'm in Christ, it gives you a whole new concept of who you are.
And of God.
Yes.
I think that was, that, to me, this is what he was after with this.
Yeah.
Is that we begin to grasp him.
Yeah.
Exactly. In the teaching here from John Paul, he went into great depth on the first pillar, because the first pillar is pertinent to all the rest. And without the understanding of the first pillar, the rest of them don't hold the meaning that they need to hold in your heart. The first pillar is called immutability. And it applies to each of the other three pillars, and it's the only one to do so. So this attribute of God's deity expresses the unchanging nature of God. He spent some time explaining what that meant, and I felt it was somewhat negative to try to interject anything like that. So I prefer to just leave it there and try to grasp the unchanging nature of God. The reliability and viability of the other three pillars hinge on immutability being true. With immutability, we find that God's names, God's acts, and God's glory are inseparable. So as we look at the God of the Bible that we have come to know, he has never changed. If he changed, he wouldn't be God. And our hearts need to know that. We need to know as we go through our walk that this God that we have come to love and serve will not change. That needs to be solid in our hearts. So that as we are going through the process of our walk, that what we are looking for, expecting, or what your promises, your whatever it is, that God does not change one teeny speck in any way from who we know him to be in his word. That's what immutability means. He is unchanging in any way whatsoever. That should give your faith in your heart a good, solid feeling to know that in any place that you're at, that this God doesn't change a bit, and you can depend on that. That's critical for you, especially if you're in the middle of a time that's really hard. That's why that pillar of immutability is so important. And in relation to the other three pillars. His name... Yep.
Where did you say the pillars were located? Before the Holy of Holies or the...
Yep. Before the Holy...
Before the Holy of Holies. Before you enter.
The Holy of... When you come up to the Holy Place.
Yeah.
the first thing you're going to do is, before you even go in, is the golden pillars, and the veil is behind the pillars.
Okay.
Okay? So they're all standing there. They were huge. We're not talking about, you know, average height. They were very, very tall pillars. And for some reason or other, I'm not... Oh. Is the gift of the height?
No, unfortunately, I can't pull it up that high, but I found that...
Yeah, that is an idea. They were that...
Roll the ball before it goes...
Pardon?
Roll the ball if it starts to fade.
Oh. This little thing?